impossible without a miracle, with a question mark because the outcome is not known at this stage, although it's very likely that a miracle will be necessary for the matter that I want to briefly discuss today. The place of safety. This has been called by others as a place of final training, a refuge, a defense, a shelter, a place that some think will not happen, as we will be protected wherever we are at the time of the Great Tribulation, and quite probably a variety of other opinions from others who may think differently. Now, we've covered this matter in sermons, sermonettes, at least four question and answers, and in booklets, and on many occasions, so in our fellowship, we should know what we believe on this matter. And if there is a place of safety, which we believe there is, where is it? We simply can't give a definitive answer on the geographical location. In October last year, in October 2012, we had an article in our weekly update which stated that Petra was once an oasis with irrigated gardens and streets lined with temples and luxurious homes. After that, Petra fell into a deep slumber. The temples decayed and goat herds used the tombs as stalls for their animals. Our comments were, for a long time the Church of God has wondered whether the end time place of safety, which is mentioned in the Bible as a place of protection for many of God's people, might be Petra. Will Petra be awakened out of its deep slumber? Even though nobody knows for sure, the above mentioned facts are interesting in light of biblical prophecy and innuendos. Of course, we did not want to imply that Petra is the place of safety. Mr. Armstrong used to say that he prayed that it was not. But let us review just one of many scriptures that show that the place of safety will be on this earth. If you'll turn to Revelation 12, verses 14 to 16, which pictures the flight of a particular group of people. Revelation 12, starting in verse 14. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Now, we have addressed this fully in one of our question and answers, but suffice to say in this brief message today that the woman is the church which is protected from Satan and his actions. And so we still don't know where this place will be, but further questions arise which we still don't have the answers. You might say, Brian, you don't know any of the answers, so why are you speaking on this subject? Why? My answer, put simply, is that so many things have changed in the last couple of years that will have to be taken into account, and some may not have given too much thought about this, while others, for example, have said for a long time that the wings of a great eagle do not refer to airplanes flying into the wilderness. One of those questions is that of travel. In order to attend the Feast of Tabernacles in Germany last year, my wife and I had to be double jabbed, other documentation and tests, forms and more forms. Because I didn't have a printout of a particular document as requested by the British authorities, not by the German authorities, nevertheless, in Dusseldorf, this was insisted on, and the young lady concerned wouldn't let us go through to passport control, then on to security, and then on to the gate for getting onto the plane. For about 3/4 of an hour, I desperately tried to find this document on my laptop. And if you know anything about airports, there are almost no tables and very few chairs, so I was on my hands and knees most of that time. trying to find the form that was applicable to my wife. I got my own, that was not selfish, it's the way it happened, but I couldn't find the form that she needed. In the end, after about 3/4 of an hour, the most senior person, knowing that we had to get through, otherwise we would miss the flight, asked to see our National Health Service COVID pass letters and led us through, and we just made the return trip. And so it seemed that the documentation was not necessary after all. My wife and family in times past have had the privilege of going abroad nearly every year for the last half century. This was due to attending the feast in different countries, company conventions, and our own holidays. We used to make the bookings, take our passports with us to the airport, get on the plane and just fly off to some overseas venue, but not any longer. Since 9/11, security has tightened up everywhere, particularly at the airports. And throw into the mix COVID-19 and you have a concoction of administration, bureaucracy, and other arrangements which you have to make, which makes traveling much more difficult. So much so that a lot of people have certainly been put off traveling. In December, just gone, the rigmarole that we had to go through to leave the UK to fly to see family in the Far East bordered on lunacy. We had to take a COVID test within 72 hours of leaving and have a negative result. We had to acquire permission to visit the country, a long form to complete with many attachments needed, including, amusingly enough, an invitation from our son to attend in that country. So he said, "Dear Dad," and said, "We welcome you to Thailand," and we got through on that. We had to obtain their pass. We had to obtain a visa. We had to take our NHS COVID pass certificates. We had to have written proof of insurance cover to make sure that COVID was covered. We had to pay for a one-night quarantine at a hotel. From their list, at our cost, where we would have another COVID test. And then, after we'd been there 7 days, had to have another COVID test. I mean, it bordered on lunacy. There was an article in a magazine called Asian Now about this pass, which said, "You need to be a Mensa genius to understand the requirements." He was a Brit, talking about this person, who now lived in this Asian country, and he was trying to get back home. And he highlighted how difficult it had been. The long article finished by saying, "But clearly, an intelligent guy, it showed the enormous difficulty someone like him faced in simply getting back to his home in Asia." Now, that doesn't seem much when reading this list out, but it took several weeks to accomplish, and then we were free to go. And then on the way back into the UK, we had to take a COVID test within 72 hours with a negative result. We had to complete a passenger locator form. We had to have evidence of vaccination status, and then within 48 hours of getting home, take another COVID test. But before all of that, that's just giving you an outline, we had to wade through all the regulations from so many websites to ascertain exactly what was needed and what applied to us, that the country we were visiting. And that was very, very time consuming to make sure that nothing was missed. Very little of it was straightforward because different forms needed different information from other forms. And so it was waiting for information to come in, which needed official sanction. And it was a matter of cross-referencing and waiting to complete all of these forms. Now, I can handle admin pretty well generally, but this was a stern test and over a period of weeks. Now, why do I give you all that information? I give it to you because travel these days is not just about hopping on a plane as we used to do. That's no longer possible. It has become easier now, and our trip to the USA was nothing like the other trips. But we still needed proof of vaccinations, an ESTA form like a visa, approval forms, a disclosure attestation form, and a no COVID test within 24 hours of leaving the UK. Still enough paperwork, and of course that could change in the future, but I doubt it. We also have many governments which are now more authoritarian than they ever used to be. Nothing, it seems, is simple anymore. Now, I raise all of these matters for a specific reason. If we think we can go to the place of safety at the drop of a hat when we need to go, then at present, it simply just isn't going to happen. But God's will not be thwarted, and he will help us through such circumstances. First of all, when will we be required to go? How will we find out? Who will tell us? There have been many false alarms over the years, and God knows this more than we do, as he sees everything. I recall people going back many years ago, not Church of God members, going onto a mountain at a certain time and coming down again, no doubt red-faced, as the end didn't happen then. And that was the early 1960s. And there have been so many more events since then. All failures, of course. I have no more idea than you how this will all play out, but we do know that God is true to his word. However, I will conjecture a little, but it is conjecture. There are examples in the Bible of people being transported from one place to another. One such person was Elijah. If you turn to 2 Kings 2, starting in verse 1, we read about Elijah. 2 Kings 2, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." Elijah interacted with Elisha and the sons of the prophets, and in verse 11, we read, "Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." Of course, that was the first heaven, not the heaven of God's throne. In fact, God transported Elijah to another place here on this earth, not to heaven, where he continued to live until his death. He wrote a letter and had it delivered to King Jehoram, and we have covered this all in a question and answer. Let's look at Acts 8, verses 36 to 39, where we read that Philip preached to the Ethiopian eunuch about Christ. Acts 8, verse 36. "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." The Benson commentary says that the Alexandrian manuscript and several other old copies read, "The Holy Spirit fell upon the eunuch, but an angel of the Lord snatched Philip away." It was obviously supernatural and for God's purpose at that time. And in the following verse, Acts 8, verse 40, we read, "But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." And so Philip was not transported to heaven, but to another place on earth where he carried on his work. Let's look at Luke 17. Verses 34 to 37, which are four verses that are part of Jesus relating about the coming kingdom of God. Luke 17, verse 34. He says, "I tell you, in that night there will be two men," or people, as the margin reads, in one bed. The one will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken and the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken and the other left. And they answered and said to him, "Where, Lord?" So he said to them, "Wherever the body is, the eagles will be gathered together." Now the word body, which is the Greek soma, S-O-M-A, refers many times to the body of Christ, the church. And we may recall that in Exodus 19, verse 4, I'll just quote this, where God says that, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." God brought his people out from slavery and protected them. He will take his faithful and loyal people out of the slavery of this current world and protect them as a place of safety for 3.5 years. In addition to this, we have seen that both Elijah and Philip were taken from one place on the earth to another place on the earth. My conjecture is this, that God might do that again at the end of this age. It would certainly take away any uncertainty about being told to go to a particular place by some other human being, and there will be not an airport to go through with a mass of paperwork that may still be needed at that time. A bit of further conjecture could be that we could be taken so far and then make our way from there to the place of safety with God guiding us. But I do hasten to add that this is pure conjecture. But still, Jesus asks us to pray that our flight would not be in the winter nor on the Sabbath. And we read that the dragon spews water after the woman. So some kind of flight to the place of safety needs to take place. And if so, it would take at least away the need to be like Gideon and the fleece to make sure that this was the right call. Maybe that's a possibility. If not, God will have in mind a plan that will not need the permission of fallible human beings. We believe that God will take his faithful people to a place of safety. That much we do know, but the place has not yet been revealed. We know that the timing of us leaving, we do not know the time of us leaving for this destination. We don't know how we will find out when it is time to go or from whom. We simply are not party to the travelling arrangements. So we see that the place is not known, the timing is not known, the instructions are not known, and the travel arrangements are not known. In fact, we simply don't know too much at this stage. But all that could change dramatically and in a very short space of time. But the important thing is that we know that it will happen because God says that he will protect his people at a place of safety and that it will be like no other. We need to continue to trust in him, do his will, and all should be well for the people of God.